Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Maggie and Perloff on the Infinity Sports Network.
Yeah, when we do the whole Aaron Rodgers.
Back to pass, looking to his left, throws left, and that's intercepted. Picked off by Jackson across the 45 to the 40. He'll run out of bounds at about the 39. The pass went off the hands of Calvin Austin into the hands of Dante Jackson. Second interception tonight for the Chargers.
There we go. Thank you, Chargers Radio. And Pearl, when we do the whole Aaron Rodgers goes into Canton, they're not going to put this game into the highlight reel.
No,
this is a bad one. And this could be the beginning of the end here for Rodgers, Pearl. We always know at times, especially with quarterbacks in their 40s, sometimes the cliff can come. Not for a guy like Joe Flacco, but for everyone else, the cliff comes. And we may have seen that last night. Welcome to the show, by the way. Hi, I'm Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, and the Chargers come away with a big win last night in the AFC, and it's left us with a lot of questions about the Steelers and Aaron Rodgers.
Well, I think that you're thinking that it's going to be Russell Wilson last year, who obviously is, by the way, we thought that was the cliff last year. Apparently, the cliff was yesterday.
Yeah, we'll get to that. We saw Russell Wilson sighting, which is not what you want.
Aaron Rodgers was good last week against Indianapolis, so how do you know this one game is what he is? Maybe he was, he's on the road. I know it's L.A. They're mostly Steelers fans there. But it's kind of hard to tell for me. I saw a lot of this, like, well, Rodgers is toast. But Rodgers has been fairly conservative all year. He's never thrown for more than basically 250 yards. He's run the offense, been very conservative. Yesterday, it just went all wrong. So I'm willing to at least theorize that this was a one-off. Because the Steelers, you know the Steelers, they will win games that they shouldn't, and they'll lose games that they should win. So I'm not done with Rodgers, although I think a lot of people are, because he kicked the Colts' butt. Like, it was mostly T.J. Watt, but it was a lot of Rodgers, too. Last night, he was just off. He was completely off. The safety was all you need to see. He had a safety where he just didn't know where to go with the ball. It was dancing around. Eventually, they just took him down.
It was almost like he didn't even realize he was in the end zone. Because he retreated. I'm like, dude, you got to be aware of where you are. You've been doing this now for 20 years. So Rodgers sacked for the safety, as you mentioned. Yeah. Intercepted twice, although one not his fault. Completed 16 of 31 passes. Finished with a passer rating of 50.6, but it was 19.5 before a garbage time drive, scoring drive. Obviously, the Steelers are still in first place in the AFC North, but now the Ravens are charging hard behind them. No pun intended, because they played the Chargers last night. But now the Ravens are doing their thing, winning a game on the road to Minnesota, where they made it look pretty easy, because now that Ravens defense has suddenly found another gear. Here's why I'm a little concerned about Rodgers. First of all, you're right. This is not a great offense anyway. And Jaylen Warren got going a little bit in the third quarter with the run game, but they didn't do enough at the trade deadline to try to get another weapon. Man, wouldn't the Steelers love to have George Pickens right now? I mean, seriously, I know he was a headache for them, but he's been awesome in Dallas. So you're kind of a weapon short. That's obvious. And Like, if you're not, your defense actually played well in this game. Justin Herbert was harassed. He was sacked 5 times. Mm-hmm. You can't waste these good defensive performances. I mean, through three quarters, the Chargers at 15 points. Like, this is the way that the Steelers want to win games. And the offense just completely let them down.
Yeah, through the first 29 minutes, they had 5 points.
Yeah, exactly.
It was a 3-2 for most of it. I mean, they shut them down completely. But I will give you this. The Steelers at the Chargers won the hardest games on their schedule. The Chargers, don't look now, are 7-3. I know they have injuries, but they do have Justin Herbert, and their defense looked really good last night. So the Steelers are going to have a bunch more wins on their schedule. Just check it out. So I think that, I keep saying this. Universe wants Mike Tomlin at 10 wins. That was the expectation coming into the season. That's going to be the expectation going out of the season. And I know it looked really bad last night, but they will find a way to get back there. I mean, honestly, one thing you have to remember, too, is that you saw the bones. The defense struggled. Remember they got lit up by the Bengals? I feel like the defense is back, so they're going to win some games. And Rodgers just has to execute. Like, he wouldn't let go of the ball last night. He looked like Daniel Jones or Justin Fields. It was a strange night. I'm not willing to say he hit a cliff yet.
Are we watching what could be the beginning of the end here for Aaron Rodgers? 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. I also, quarterbacks like who are older, who get to play in warm weather and don't look good. I'm like, well, what's this going to look like when it's December in Pittsburgh? Well, hold on one second. Yeah. So here's Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin, who, has a way of talking to the media that is very different from every other coach. Sometimes you kind of feel like you can read him like a book, and sometimes you have no idea what he's really getting at. I think last night, you knew what he was getting at. So here's Tomlin being very short with whoever asked him this question, a reporter. Asked him what he thought of Aaron Rodgers' performance.
How would you assess Aaron's performance tonight?
How would you?
Next.
Yeah, I mean, we're far from Mike T's the man. Is the honeymoon kind of over here, Pearl, for Aaron Rodgers, Mike Tomlin? Because this was, remember the whole thing about even signing late in the offseason, but it's, I trust Mike Tomlin. I want to play for Mike Tomlin. And listen, nobody should be happy after you lose a game like this, of course. But, for Aaron Rodgers, it seems like it's always kind of teetering. Like, his relationships seem like they could be great one minute, not great the next minute, and this is now something officially on my radar, something I'm watching. The Rodgers-Mike Tomlin, is the honeymoon over?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like Mike Tomlin, just a little bit about Mike Tomlin, too. He falls out of love with quarterbacks, right? Because he liked Justin Fields, then he fell out of love with him. Then he put in Russell Wilson, and he fell out of love with him.
Yeah.
Because Mike Tomlin is deep down a defensive guy.
Sure.
So, I think it's a combination. Yeah, I think it seems like a repeat of last year. Although that being said, I think last night was a bit of a one-off. I don't think Mike Tomlin would have said that if he was really, really concerned about Rodgers.
I don't know. Sometimes Tomlin, he obviously can play the game. He knows what he's doing. He's been in the game for a long time. But I think you catch guys with a little bit of, truth, actually. I know we always think that guys are lying every time they're talking into a microphone or a podium, but he could have sugarcoated that.
Could you sugarcoat last night? It was clearly awful.
No, but if you think it's a one-off, if you think it's a one-off, like, hey, we were just out of sync, but that's not who Aaron Rodgers is, and that's not who he's going to be going forward. Instead, we got a no comment, and we got a sarcastic, do you think he played? I mean, it's...
We do not care.
He could have been more tactful if he didn't... Like, you don't have to send a message to Aaron Rodgers. He knows he played like garbage last night.
Yeah, that's what Tomlin's like. I don't think Tomlin's basically like, you saw the game. Of course he was bad. And I think Tomlin was implying Aaron Rodgers knows he was bad last night. Like, no, there's no mystery around this. If he had said, well, we're going to go look at the tape, then I'd be worried. basically Tomlin being honest here gave me some relief. Everyone in the building knows that was a garbage fest offensively.
Yeah, it was.
So in a normal situation, say it was a functional situation, 10 years ago, Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. Tom Brady, for some reason, had an awful game. And somebody asked Bill Belichick, how'd he play? He'd say, you saw the game. It was bad.
Yeah.
If there's enough confidence and enough stability there, then you can admit that it was a bad game. What you're saying is you're not sure that underlying stability is there.
Well, I'm curious now. Let's just put it that way. I'm more curious about it now than I was after they beat the Colts. Let's just let me say that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, okay, so let's hear a little bit more from Aaron Rodgers. EJ, can I please have cut six. Now, here's Rodgers talking about how, despite how bad he played, and he owned it all last night, so don't think that Rodgers was escaping any of the smoke. He said the Steelers are in a good spot. They just need to bounce back.
We got to bounce back. We got a division opponent next week. We're 5-4. We're ahead by a game in the division, and we got to play better on offense for sure. But, you know, this is part of the season. There's ebbs and flows. There's ups and downs, and we can't ride the wave.
Okay. Well, things are, you know, not exactly yellow brick road here for the Steelers. It's the Cincinnati Bengals next. Now, they should be able to score on the Bengals, that's for sure. Then you're going to Chicago, which Rodgers has owned,
but with a different team.
And when he was at the Packers, and somehow Chicago keeps pulling these last-second wins out of their place where the sun don't shine. We'll get to Caleb Williams in just a little bit. Then they have a home game for Buffalo. They still have Baltimore twice. They still have to go to Detroit. They still have a game. I mean, what's Miami? Are they suddenly spry? I have no idea. So
Miami in Pittsburgh in December, if they can't win that game, I mean, they're not winning any game.
So Primetime game. Monday night game.
I mean, they should be a touchdown favorite in that game.
I would think so, but Buffalo was an 8.5-point favorite yesterday. Yeah, they went down to Miami and got their butts kicked. So
I'm liking everything. Yeah, I know, but Miami in December in Pittsburgh, I mean, we've seen that movie. I think their schedule beats Mike Tomlin always beats the Ravens once. Isn't that a thing? So I don't know. I feel like Rodgers is right. We're 5-4. We're in a decent position. I don't think this is a division-winning caliber team. I don't think you do either. But the record is a record. 10-7. Just get used to it.
Yeah, see, but that's the other part of this. If we go one level deeper here. And we'll get to the Chargers side because I asked Perloff before the show, are there any good teams in the AFC? No clue. And you said the Chiefs, who are on a bye. Like, I don't know if even the Chiefs are actually a great team. I think they can lose to anybody. They just lost to Buffalo, who just lost to Miami.
Yeah, but that's regular season. I still think that, you know, what's the old cliche? The season starts at Thanksgiving. I think the Chiefs are good. I think your Bills are better. Yesterday was a total anomaly. The ball was very slick in Miami. He couldn't throw the ball. Yeah, I mean, listen, I saw the ball go through everybody's hands, except for the Dolphins' hands.
Yeah, no, they were fine.
Because Tua throws the ball about a mile up in the air and it comes down, where Josh Allen's, the whole game was neutralized and they were hot and they probably went out. I get it.
They probably went out. Just stay out. Just stay at the club. Don't even bother showing up to the stadium if that's what the kind of crap you're going to put out on the field. But that's a little bit different. We'll talk about the Chargers, whether or not their defense kind of found something yesterday, or was it just Rodgers being so bad? But to the point of, you've seen this script, same old story, Steelers are going to be a 10-win team, and I think you're implying getting bounced in the first round of the playoffs.
I would think so, yeah. Okay. This is not, if people thought this was a formula to take the next step, I agree with you. That is not happening.
Okay, so that's my, what is this all for then? Like, what if they've been doing this thing where it since Ben Roethlisberger retired, which is either journeyman, late round picks, guys who are generally backups who they're kind of masquerading as starters. You took a swing with Kenny Pickett, kind of, because he was in your own building. So you just went basically with a familiar guy in a bad quarterback draft. And that didn't work out because, as you said, Mike Tomlin falls out of love with quarterbacks pretty fast.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, because I said he has small hands.
Well, maybe. I mean, maybe he does go back to the small hands. What do I know?
But
and then you now are taking swings with retread Russell Wilson, retread Justin Fields, and now the future Hall of Famer and Aaron Rodgers. Like, if you're the Steelers and you're their fans, every which way you've tried to do this with a quarterback since Ben Roethlisberger retired has come up snake eyes for you, because the goal is not just to get to the playoffs. The goal is to win playoff games. But you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, for goodness sake.
But we're sitting here, it's November. Why would you have not said this in July and August? I mean, did you think it was going to be anything different? I mean, did Steelers fans in an honest moment, really?
Yeah, because I thought Rodgers, maybe 2 years off the Achilles, you do have a run game. Like, I don't know. Then they make the trade for DK Metcalf. I'm like, damn, this is very different for the Steelers. Usually they're trading their wide receivers away, which they did with George Pickens, to give up the draft picks and then pay DK Metcalf. I was like, all right, maybe there's a little something. They're doing things a little differently. Damn.
Really? They do things exactly the same. They got an old quarterback.
I'm saying the weapons around. Like,
I mean, listen, the odds did not reflect anything different. The odds had them about 12th or 13th in the league because, I understand what you're saying. They're just, this way, this is Mike Tomlin. This isn't about Aaron Rodgers. If we had our friend Andrew Filipponi on, I'm sure he's getting calls to be like, are we still doing this with Mike T? Because right now, he's a very good coach. He will win games, but he is not building a Super Bowl team. You nailed it. Like, they keep on doing these journeyman quarterbacks. Like, they need a quarterback. You need a quarterback in the NFL to have sustained success and to get to the next level. And they just, they have to draft somebody. They have to get bad. They've tried to avoid the rebuild, and you can't do it.
Remember, was that last week when Rodgers was basically calling the shot of, like, coming back next year, too?
That was a couple weeks ago. Yeah, when I was on the Steelers, ago. The Steelers talking about they may want him back next year.
Yeah. Eh. I mean, listen, not to overreact to one game, but, eh. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. I actually know, and it's not that hard to figure it out, the one quarterback, Pearl, who's going to have the best offseason of any quarterback, a guy who's going to be the next reclamation project.
Who's that?
I mean, I'll just say it right now because we're on in the Bay Area. It's Mac Jones. And they lost yesterday. They lost to the Rams. And there was a moment in the game where it felt like, you know, 49ers were coming back. They were down, felt like by three scores before he could blink. Came back, I think they cut it to 10 with plenty of time left. They go for it on a 4th and 4. The pass gets broken up, falls to the ground. Rams take it the other way, score a touchdown. It was kind of too hard to overcome at that point. But Mac Jones looked really good, and we know he's dealing with multiple injuries, but he put up 300 yards yesterday over the Rams.
Yeah,
he's going to be the next guy. Darnold, Dan Jones, the same, that kind of Baker Mayfield. Someone's going to hand Mac Jones a bunch of money.
Yeah, you're assuming he gets out of San Francisco. We've seen San Francisco change their mind on quarterbacks before. By the way, yeah, the Steelers were lower than I thought. They were 16th in Super Bowl odds coming into the season. I don't think anybody, everyone thought, okay, maybe they got something with Aaron Rodgers, but did anyone really think Aaron Rodgers was going to get them all the way? No, and that's where we are with the Steelers. Like, we're not talking about them as a Super Bowl team like we did in prime Big Ben, and that's really the problem. Like, they need to rebuild. They need to just rip the Band-Aid, not bring Aaron Rodgers back next year. They need to go 3-14. I hate to say it, or bring in a new coach, and I love Mike Tomlin. I think a million teams would jump on him.
Totally.
But it gets old, right?
Maybe. 888-710-4ISN. I can't believe that until I see it. I mean, this is a franchise that had three head coaches. I mean, think about it. There are some franchises that have had three head coaches in the last 3 years, four years, something like that. It's like the revolving door.
It's worked well. I mean, listen, we can't fault the Rooneys for their strategy. They have a lot of rings.
That's true. 888-710-4ISN. So a couple things on the table for you. And you know what's funny, Pearl? You mentioned the Super Bowl odds and the Steelers were 16th. It's all well and good, but the Steelers weren't talking about themselves that way, right? It felt like there was a moment in the summer, and granted, it's just like a little bit of a hype tour, but Pat McAfee show comes to town, right? Pat goes to his hometown, sets up at Latrobe, Pennsylvania, famously the Steelers training campsite, and it looked like they were having a Super Bowl parade.
And yeah, they were fired up.
Exactly, and I'm not going to fault people for being excited about a football season starting, but that seems now like that was way premature.
It was kind of a bromance.
888-710-4ISN. Who is looking worse here? Are you worried more about Aaron Rodgers? Are you worried about this sort of cliff out in the distance? Maybe not so much in the distance. Maybe getting a little closer for Aaron Rodgers at the end. And who's the good team in the AFC? Great. Yeah, that deserves a pause. 888-710-4ISN. So much to do on this Monday. You guys know the drill. If we're not talking about your team and your game, holler. 888-710-4ISN.
All right, Maggie. I keep saying this, and I really believe it. This is the best time of year. I know EJ's a spring guy. You could go either way. But when you have Prize Picks, it's so awesome because you got football, you got basketball, you got hockey this time of year. You can go into soccer, gaming. It's all on Prize Picks where you can get paid for being right. And right now, you can keep the season rolling by getting $50 bonus credit instantly in lineups when you play your first $5. It's so simple to use. Just pick two or more players across any sport, pick more or less on their projections, and if you're right, you could win big.
Okay, how about tonight, Pearl? Your Philadelphia Eagles in action against the Green Bay Packers. It's going to be a fun one in Lambeau. So how about, I'm going to go Jordan Love, 228.5 passing yards, Pearl. I'm going to go more than. I think he can throw a little bit on you guys. I'm gonna not go with Saquon Barkley. I'm actually gonna put that together. This is a Perloff special. I'm gonna put him together with Victor Wembanyama. Wemby tonight, Spurs facing the Chicago Bulls, 26.5 points. I'm going to go more than for Wemby. And this is why we're obsessed with Prize Picks. Super fun, available in 40-plus states, including California, Texas, Florida, and Georgia. It's just so simple to use. Come play along with us. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use the code MNP and get $50 bonus credit instantly in lineups when you play $5. That's code MNP on Prize Picks to get $50 bonus credit instantly in lineups when you play $5. So win or lose, you get $50 bonus credit in lineups just for playing. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks. It is good to be right. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. We're basically asking, is there any good team in the AFC? Or what's the question? Who's the best team in the AFC? Because listen, somebody's got to really come out of that conference and get to the Super Bowl, I think.
Contractually obligated.
The analytics say that somebody will win the AFC title game. I still think... let's not overthink it. I mean, come on. I don't care how many regular season games KC loses. As long as the Chiefs are in the playoffs, I'm going to assume that they are the team to beat, Maggie.
Yeah, but not even close right now in terms of like what the standings will tell you. But I'll agree with you. Obviously, they've got the rings. They've got the battle scars. But you know, the Broncos have 8 wins in their own division, and the Chargers last night got to their 7th win.
Both very good, but somewhat flawed team. The Chargers have all these offensive line injuries, which actually we did see show up last night. And the Broncos, I mean. The Broncos are great in the last 6 minutes of a game. The other 54, you have no idea what you're going
to
get.
Major question. All right, let's go to the phones. We're asking a couple questions about last night's Sunday Night Football game. Is the bromance, whatever, between Aaron Rodgers and Mike Tomlin suddenly fading because Rodgers was not good last night and Mike Tomlin did not hesitate to no comment when talked about Aaron Rodgers, when asked about Aaron Rodgers' performance?
Mike T is the man.
Kind of a snarky, what do you think, Mike, you know, Aaron Rodgers look like? That's never good. And then also, who's the best team in the AFC? JT's in Atlanta. Good morning, JT. What's good?
Good morning. Happy Monday to you guys. Hey, I just want to say, in regards to the Steelers, there's a couple of things that I see as the problem. And it's not, you know, Mike Tomlin, and it's really not the talent, because we've seen Aaron Rodgers make mediocre wide receivers look good before. Is two things. Aaron Rodgers is right now the Clayton Kershaw of the NFL, right? Like he's a guy that used to have it, but he doesn't have it anymore, and he's trying to get guys out with the 90-mile-an-hour fastball. He was on DP talking about this, where he just knew he couldn't continue to do this. But Aaron doesn't know that yet. Mm. He hasn't realized that he can't do what he used to be able to do. That, and then if you couple that with the fact that Arthur Smith is his offensive coordinator, like who didn't see that was never a marriage that was going to work? Because when is Arthur Smith, besides when he had Derrick Henry as a running back, ever been considered the captain of a good offense? And he doesn't have a Derrick Henry there. So then what does he do? I've seen it in Atlanta firsthand. I don't know if he's got a fastball, but he doesn't have a changeup. He doesn't have a curve. He doesn't have anything else besides run the ball with a great running back, which he doesn't have. So the offense is unimaginative, and Aaron Rodgers is not the same guy. And that's the reason why the Steelers are not going to, you know.
JT, it's a great point. Thank you so much for making it. Great to hear from you on this Monday. Yeah. And it's funny because teams are falling all over themselves to hire Arthur Smith. I mean.
Really?
Yeah, the Steelers did. The Jets wanted him. North Carolina, the Tar Heels wanted him, right? Like,
I know. Wait. I knew you were going to say North Carolina. Wait, the Jets wanted him to coach?
Yes.
The head coach.
They want him to be their offensive coordinator, I thought.
Yeah, I know. So you just said they want him two of the most dysfunctional programs in the history of football, the Jets and North Carolina.
Well, he's a bum. I mean, but then the Steelers, who may be the most consistent.
Yeah, but also who just fired Matt Canada. They don't know what they're doing either on offense. This, by the way, I'm not going to blame Arthur Smith. I'm blaming Mike Tomlin because he's the one. Mike Tomlin had to be forced by ownership to fire Matt Canada. So whatever, there's something fundamentally wrong with the offense here. But there is a cavalry coming. You guys don't know about the big signing? MVS is headed to Pittsburgh in a couple days.
Really?
Yeah, they have Marquez Valdes-Scantling on their practice squad.
I wish I had crickets over here.
Wow, everything's fixed.
okay, I mean,
catch the fever. He's only good when he plays for the Chiefs.
No, he's only good when Aaron Rodgers is throwing to him.
All right, whatever.
What's the other guy? What's the guy that was on the Jets?
Alan Lazard.
Alan Lazard.
He's still there.
He's where?
With the Jets.
He can't, like, basically, but the Jets are going to cut him. He's going to get MVS and Alan Lazard, and he's going to recreate the 2021 Green Bay Packers.
What's Randall Cobb up to these days?
I'm shocked he's not on the, wait, let's Google it, because he might be on the Steelers roster.
That worked out really well for the Jets in 2023.
I feel like Randall Cobb is now a stay-at-home dad who's handing out Halloween candy to kids.
Or he's like a punt returner on the Steelers. I mean, he's going to get the gang back together. MVS first, Lazard will get cut by the Jets. It's all happening.
They're going to make a deal with Devontae Adams. He's going to be the first player in NFL history to play for two NFL teams. He got to spend half his time with the Rams and half his time playing with Aaron Rodgers.
Meanwhile, he was on the sidelines yesterday. It didn't matter. The Rams were in control and comfortable, but I think I saw one of the internet doctors, David Chow, whatever, said he thought it was a back issue.
Well, they said he pulled his oblique, right? He could come back in the game if he wanted to, but he looks amazing. He ain't leaving Matthew Stafford ever.
No, nobody ever should. Ramon's in Indianapolis. Ramon, who's the best team in the AFC?
Good morning. My favorite morning crew. I appreciate that. And Maggie, you hit him on the head. First of all, I knew this Aaron Rodgers experiment was going to be terrible. Pittsburgh should have drafted Shedeur Sanders and went through the regrowing process or rebirthing process like everybody else is going through, like you have to do. You just have to do it. Perloff, you've talked about it many times. You know, most in this modern NFL, you're going to patchwork. It's going to be very rare. Matthew Stafford and Tom Brady are the only two quarterbacks. Well, if you want to take my man from Philadelphia, 17, what was his name that won? Beat Brady.
Nick Foles.
Those three guys in the last 15 years. And it's not a high percentage. We know Stafford was good leaving Detroit, and he still would have some prime in him. You can look at him yesterday and still, he's still a prime quarterback. And Tom Brady was Tom Brady. So other than that, Foles may have been an offshoot, but you're not going to grab 40-year-olds and win. Pittsburgh never did that. The best team is the Colts. That running game and Jonathan Taylor right now, Jonathan Taylor's the MVP in the league. Daniel Jones is making us all shaky, but Jonathan Taylor is bailing them out.
Ramon, now you understand where New York fans were like, really, Daniel Jones? Because he's never met a turnover he didn't like. Great to see you and talk to you, Ramon. Thank you so much for that. When Ramon actually said something about the Steelers needing the rebirthing process, that that sounds painful.
Is that a word?
No, but it brought me a little PTSD.
You can only be birthed once, I believe.
Thank God.
Yeah, I don't agree on the Colts, by the way. And, you know, I love Ramon. But
yeah, of course.
I just don't think that. I think we saw a flawed team. You know, basically, the schedule gets really hard. Like, they beat Atlanta and Germany, I know. But they have Kansas City, Houston, we'll see, at Jacksonville, at Seattle. There are a lot of real games coming up for the Colts. I think that, I don't know what Atlanta is. Like, are we impressed with a win over Atlanta?
I can't even imagine how painful that must have been for Atlanta fans. Yesterday, the Patriots game before that, you lose because you can't get the extra point. I thought yesterday that game in Germany, there's a drive that the Colts have at the end of regulation, right, to go try to tie the game, which took them to overtime. And I thought Ty Warren caught the ball and fumbled the ball. And they called it an incomplete pass, challenged it, the whole deal. I still thought the call was wrong. And the Falcons, like, have to be like, what the hell?
We talked about this call. I have no idea what you're talking about. In real time, like, that was out of his hands really fast. I mean, Pereira thought it was a drop. Like, if that was in the end zone, there's no way they give him a touchdown. He was fumbling it all over his shoulder pads.
I felt like he was wrapped up with the defender. They're, like, both standing up. And then all of a sudden, it's like one Mississippi, two Mississippi. Kind of feels like they're doing football moves to me. And then the ball ends up on the ground.
The ball hit him in, like, underneath his arm, then ended up on the other side of his helmet. the Colts are interesting. And you keep talking about these poor Falcons fans. Have you ever met a Falcons fan?
Yeah.
Really? I haven't been down in Atlanta recently, but I see a lot of G's on hats. I don't see a lot of birds on hats.
Well, thankfully, and they had Georgia put together a good old-fashioned butt kick at Mississippi State.
Like, they'll take Georgia, I think. Like, right now, they're fine. And Georgia Tech is kind of good, too. I don't know. I just feel like Falcons fans, it's a big party down in the stadium, but I don't think it's a huge fan base. And I think this is why, because they keep frustrating everybody.
Let's get this Chris Lopresti is in with us this morning on Updates. What's up, CeeLo?
Good morning. The hard-hitting football action is even better with Prize Picks. Download Prize Picks. Use code PRIMETIME. Get $50 bonus credit instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. So the Week 10 NFL Sunday wraps up last night in L.A. Chargers had their way with the Packers, or the Packers, good Lord, the Steelers. That's my Aaron Rodgers on the brain. 25-10, the final. Late in that game with the outcome in hand, Keenan Allen goes to head coach Jim Harbaugh looking for a second catch to break Hall of Famer Antonio Gates' record for most catches in Chargers history. And it was Allen drawing up his own play, apparently.
He was like, are we trying to get it to you? You know, we ran the smoke. We did this. I'm like, hey, just run the speed sweep. It's probably that's the easiest catch I can get. It's like a guaranteed catch. So, and then he told G-Ro on the headset. And, yeah, they actually called me a genius. Like, dang, I did not think of that. You mean to tell me you didn't think of that? Like, what's up, bro?
So he called his own number. He got his record. Gates was in the house, and away they go.
I saw that. I was like, oh, yeah, Antonio Gates. Tough week.
I was surprised he was there.
Yes, so was I, because he was somebody who was not federally indicted, but he was someone who's now been linked to this gambling scandal where he was one of the famous people who brought unsuspecting patsies into these rigged poker games. Right. Maybe, all alleged.
Alleged,
he was pretty happy last night.
Yeah, he did.
I love when a guy passes over a record and the guy's happy for him. I'm a sucker for that.
Well, they obviously crossed paths and were teammates for quite a while.
Yeah, so. Keenan Allen has been around. He's been around since Dan Fouts.
Longer than we realize. Yes.
They invented poker, then Keenan Allen started.
Steve Young in the Super Bowl.
Eric Coryell loved Keenan Allen.
On the other side of things, as you guys were discussing, not a good night for Aaron Rodgers and the Pittsburgh offense. They got the late window dressing touchdown. He was sacked 3 times, couple of interceptions, 3 turnovers total for Pittsburgh. Here was Rodgers after the game.
Defense played really well tonight, and offensively we were pretty bad, so we got to find a way to get open on third down. I got to find a way to hit him, and because that was just some bad ball.
Said he's got to play better, and apparently he will, so we'll see about that as the Steelers fall to 5-4. Chargers improve to 7-3. Late afternoon window was pretty one-sided for the second time in less than a week. The Seahawks just boat raced their opponent in the first half.
Third down and 12. Brissett, hit again. Ball bounces. Are you kidding me? It goes to D-Log in. Another touchdown. Seahawks. Holy catfish. Lightning strikes twice for the Seahawks defense.
Seahawks radio, you don't get the catfish reference too often these days, so that was nice of him there. As DeMarcus Lawrence had his second fumble return touchdown of a Jacoby Brissett strip sack in the opening 16 minutes of the game as Seattle built a big lead. They went on to beat the Cardinals 44-22. They are 7-2, and that sets up a matchup with the 7-2 Rams next week after LA took care of the 49ers 42-26. Matt Stafford now has 3 consecutive games with 4 or more touchdown passes as he passed 400 for his career, 9th QB in league history to do that. I just saw this flash on the screen that I didn't believe it for a second, but then I remembered all those losing years with the Lions. Yesterday's win for the Rams finally puts Matt Stafford at 500 for his career as the starting quarterback.
Yeah, it sounds crazy, odd, but then when you think about it, it's like, there was a couple seasons there with Detroit.
A lot of losing in Detroit, yes.
I mean, it still sounds odd because he's a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yeah. He is 115-1 now as a starting quarterback.
Seasons he had to play with the best coach in the NFL, arguably just to get to 500. That's how bad those years were in Detroit.
Yeah, to 500. We're not even asking for like the best winning percentage ever. We're asking for 500.
Yes. Speaking of his former team, the Lions, Dan Campbell takes over play calling duties from first-year offensive coordinator John Morton, and they ripped up 44 points against the Commanders in Landover. Jared Goff, 320. He had 3 touchdown passes, including one to Jahmyr Gibbs, who also had 142 yards rushing and a couple of touchdowns on the ground. Scott Zolak, Patriots Radio, I would say summing up their road win in Tampa yesterday.
Holy crap! What balls!
Yeah, he did say that on the air during yesterday's broadcast as they beat the Bucs 28-23. A little bit of a coming out party for the rookie Trevion Henderson at a 55-yard rushing score on the opening possession of the second half, and then the game-sealing 69-yard touchdown rip late in the fourth quarter. 147 yards total on the ground for him as the Pats improved to 8-2. Jackson Dart, a concussion for the Giants. He left the game early. That opened the door for the Bears to come back and beat the Giants 24-20. Caleb Williams, the go-ahead 17-yard rushing score plus a TD toss to Roma Dunze. And speaking of comebacks, what went on in Houston. 26 unanswered in the fourth quarter for the Texans, including the go-ahead 14-yard rushing score by Davis Mills with 31 seconds left as they come back to beat the Jaguars 36-29. Liam Cohen basically throwing the headset down on the sideline at the end of that game.
The fact that that game got close and then Davis Mills with the wheels.
Yeah. I was shocked by how fast. But there was a play at the very end of the game. There was a fumble on the last play of the game, and the Texans defender ran in the end. Yep. So it was holding the ball out.
Yep, classic mistake.
Did anybody have – Nagy, you're a Bills fan, so I know that you understand what can happen. The Jaguars defender ran out, knocked the ball off, and landed on it. I was terrified that the Texans blew the game on that play. Because, guys, and it happens everywhere. And Jonathan Taylor runs into the end zone for the winning play in Germany and then throws the ball down 1 foot in the end zone. Why are players throwing the ball down, barely getting over the end line? It's killing me.
If I was a coach in training camp, I would have spent at least 15 minutes in one practice being like, we're just going to run through the end zone. Catch the ball and just run through the back of the end zone with the ball. Just keep going.
There's something weird about the fact that there's been two very high-profile instances. Was A.D. Mitchell was the first one, and Amari DiMarcado was the second one, right? Literally lost touchdowns and lost. I don't know if the Colts lost the game on that. They might have. Yeah, that was the Rams game, right? Anyway,
yeah, that's the game they lost.
That was the game they lost.
Yeah, he's now a Jet.
It's just so weird. Congrats, DJ.
He's an undefeated Jet, I might add, but go ahead.
True.
But here's the thing. Like, somehow those two plays that happened this season, that's not even enough to scare guys. Like, it's weird.
And even great players. I saw Mahomes he is barely over the end line and throws it down. If I was Jonathan Taylor at the end, the early game, I would have taken that ball back with me to the States. I would not let go for another 16 hours.
You want to know what it is.
For the day he had. You want to hang on to that football.
I know.
Good point.
He is the MVP right now. But I think Stafford will ultimately win it. But here's the thing. Everyone's worried about the celly.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's the celebration, Pearl. Yeah. It's like everyone has a thing. Do you see how many Rico Dowdle send-ups there were yesterday with, are we doing two pumps, three pumps?
Oh, everyone that was great. That was awesome.
They're not watching the tape of Armani DiMarcado dropping the ball at the goal line, but they are watching the tape of everyone's celebrations. I think they're thinking of it.
Well, there's two terrible things. There's a dual idiotic things going in the NFL. One, throwing the ball out for the celly. The second is, on interceptions, wide receivers not touching the defender when he's down, it is a plague that is killing. I don't know if anyone saw Justin Jefferson just screw his team over. If I'm a coach, this happens every interception. The defensive back is on the ground. The wide receiver just stares at him and does not touch him when he's down, and it kills me.
Yeah. Moping that he didn't catch the ball.
I know. Jefferson, it was a bad throw. Anyway, NFL, get your act together.
Yeah.
Players, that is.
Rough day for Maggie's Bills as they took it on the chin down in Miami, 30-13 for the Dolphins, who showed some fight for
She'll cut
Mike
you off
McDaniel
right now. She'll
there,
cut your mic.
I will not. It was worse than that. I think you're being kind.
Yes. Mm. They had a rough day. A lot of turnovers mixed in there as well. Perloff mentioned the Jets winning 27-20 over the Browns. That's two in a row for Aaron Glenn's team after the trades of Sauce Gardner and Quinnen Williams. So they found a way with a couple of special teams touchdowns yesterday. And even the Saints got a second win as they beat the Panthers in Charlotte 17-7. Before the kickoff of the 1 Eastern games, you had the sad news about Paul Tagliabue, former NFL commissioner for 17 seasons, who passed away at the age of 84. He, of course, took over for Pete Rozelle back in 1989, was succeeded by Roger Goodell, had a lot of nice things to say about him and his statement as far as Tagliabue being a mentor for him as he was coming up through the league. We also had the passing of Lenny Wilkins, Basketball Hall of Famer, at the age of 88, both as a player and a coach on the Hall of Fame side. So a couple of high-profile folks in the sports world who passed away over the weekend. And then lastly, not to end on a controversial note, but you referenced Antonio Gates and the alleged gambling stuff. You had a little bit of a follow-up on the baseball side with Guardians pitchers Emmanuel Clase and Luis Ortiz charged with fraud, conspiracy, and bribery stemming from their alleged scheme to rig individual pitches that led to gamblers winning hundreds of thousands of dollars. Ortiz arrested Sunday morning in Boston. He'll appear in court today. Clase apparently still not yet in custody, but very much involved in this whole situation there.
Yeah, they're going to find him. CeeLo, thank you. I actually have we have some thoughts on that new addition to this other gambling kind of scandal. We'll get to that in just a moment. CeeLo mentioned my Bills. Oh, boy. That was worrisome yesterday. We'll get to that as well. 888-710-4ISN. It's a Monday on the Maggie and Perloff Show, which means we're drinking from the fire hose, Give us a call if you want to talk about your game. MVP. Wow. We got the full Gus Johnson on Saturday. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. That was Gus, Joel Klatt, Fox, calling that Indiana squeaking by Penn State, Pearl, in Happy Valley. And it was an incredible catch, throw and catch. I mean, the toe tap to get the touchdown late. Omar Cooper Jr. was the one who had it. How he got a foot down.
Amazing.
I mean, it's an all-time catch. But Gus just couldn't take it. Like he just couldn't hold. Because if you were watching the game and the final score was 27-24, and it was almost this massive upset from Penn State, but Gus was giving you the full Gus on every play. So this was a tighter game than anyone thought. He was doing this for everything. And so finally, like the Nicholas Singleton, you know, touchdowns, he was going full Gus. Pearl, his vocal cords just gave out.
Yeah, I mean, Gus is obviously famous for these kind of calls. I think this, maybe I'm in the recency bias, this might be the most wild Gus call I've ever heard. I felt like his head was exploding.
He couldn't handle the drive. He just couldn't handle it.
He glitched. It was amazing. Like, unbelievable! I mean, listen, we should have. Knowing Gus was on the call, we should have known that something crazy was going to happen in the final minute there.
Well, we're asking you now, which college team had the best win this weekend? And Indiana certainly could fall into this category. Now, they go to Penn State, yeah, who's obviously like the walking wounded with their head coach gone and all of that. But Penn State, they've been spry here the last couple weeks. And so Indiana gets the ball. They're down 24-20. They have like under 2 minutes left to go. And the first play of the drive is a Fernando Mendoza sack for 7 yards, a loss. Now they have no timeouts. He's got to go 90 yards, Pearl, all in the air, and he did it, and it was really amazing.
Yeah, but I don't know if that was the best win in the sense that, like, I think Indiana got exposed. I mean, I think they're going to win. They have Wisconsin and Purdue next. They're going to win those games. I think people are, bettors, for example, are going to be down on them coming into the playoffs because they clearly aren't this juggernaut. I mean, they just went toe-to-toe with a terrible Penn State team. So honestly, I think that was a kind of a down moment for Indiana coming out. I mean, the drive was crazy. They were going to make the playoff anyway. They would have been their first loss. But I don't know. I just wasn't wildly impressed with Indiana. I think that was maybe a think twice about picking this team to win the whole thing.
Yeah, see, I didn't see it that way because I think, you know, Indiana's been, outside of that, a tight game at Oregon, which they showed you they can win those tight games, Pearl. I was like, this is gritty. This happens to college teams. You go on the road, you've got a team that maybe feels like, all right, you know, we've already hit rock bottom. We've got nothing left to play for except for putting good film on tape and trying to rally this thing. And there still are really good players on that Penn State roster. And you saw the good players really step up. You know, as I mentioned, Singleton, you saw deny Dennis Sutton on the defensive side. Like, these guys were really good in this game, and it's a classic trap game for a college team. And the fact that Indiana was able to pull this out, I was more impressed because, yeah, it's Penn State, but, like, this happens. You go into hostile environments, and you lay eggs, and they didn't do that. Now, maybe if you want to say most impressive was probably Oregon. I mean, they found themselves in an absolute dogfight. Anyone can go to Iowa in that Kinnick Stadium and lose. Like it, and it was shaping up to be a classic Iowa win. Low scoring, ugly, it's raining, and Iowa had the lead late, and Oregon came back and basically just stole it.
Again, bit of the same dynamic, though. Oregon probably will, thankfully, because of this win, make the playoff. I think they might have been out if they lost this game. Are you fired up to see Oregon in the 12-team playoff after this? You know, Oregon came into this season. Remember, they lost Dylan Gabriel. They lost a lot of talent. They were the number six preseason. They don't feel like a juggernaut either. There was a moment where Oregon felt, with Dante Moore quarterback, like the team. Both, I would say, Indiana and Oregon don't feel like the team right now. And I think Saturday, I walked away like, oh, those were close wins. But I don't know if they come down, if they play Ohio State in, I mean, they'll probably play, one of them will play Ohio State, I guess, in the,
I think it's going to be Ohio State, Indiana in the Big Ten title
right
game.
But if they play Ohio State in the playoff, the teams that I saw on Saturday are not national title contenders right now. Tell me about, by the way, Dante Moore, maybe it is the Iowa thing. He's really good. It feels like that number one overall buzz feels a little overstated. You know, you saw him live at Rutgers.
Yeah.
He doesn't jump off the screen as Trevor Lawrence to me.
Well, I mean, but Trevor was like, you know, walked on campus and was like the guy. No, it's not like that.
Yeah, yeah. And the whole team.
He was very good in that Rutgers game. He's just, he's not very big.
Yeah.
But no, he was good. Do I see number one overall pick? I, you know.
Do you see Oregon the same way you saw them last year? Even last year, they were dominating.
Last year, they were number one basically wire to wire.
Yeah, I guess that's the bar I'm comparing Oregon against. And right now, Indiana, too, because Indiana had been murdering these bad teams. That's why I was so disappointed that it was such a battle against Ethan Grunkmeyer and the Penn State and Indiana Lions.
Well, to be honest, I find these are like, these are good signs when you can win these ugly games.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I say that as a positive, because how many times watching college football our whole lives have we seen good teams go on the road to teams they should beat, and it ends up weird stuff happens, weather, whatever. And you know, the other really impressive win I thought was A&M.
That one I was impressed
with. Now, Mizzou that was on actually the impressive. Third quarterback.
Yeah.
So, but that was a butt kicking.
Well, here's the thing, though, about you say that it shows something to win these close games. It's a sport where you're judged by margin of victory. So I don't. The sport's the only sport where it matters. Beating teams badly pays off. It's probably the only sport.
Yeah, style points.
Style points. It's the only team sport where you have that. So I don't know about these close wins. They make me nervous.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We're asking which college team had the best win this weekend. Texas Tech, you could have put in there. That was a really, well, not fun for BYU. But Texas Tech may have shown that they are the class of the Big 12 with that $25 million roster or what have you.
Yeah.
They looked very good. Okay. 888-710-4ISN. You want to talk about your team? Let's go. Coming up, let's address the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
We'll do that next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.